यस्नावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः So 2 weeks ago, Swamiji did Shvetashvatara Upanishad, the first chapter in 5 talks. I'll try to summarize them in 1 hour. It will be a little hard, but we won't be chanting the mantras. I'll just, as I give the word by word meaning, I'll just explain it. So the Shvetashvatara Upanishad appears in the Krishna Yajur Veda. And it is called Shveta Ashvatara. One is because the name of the Rishi who revealed this mantra to us, he was called Shveta Ashvatara. Swamiji explained Shveta Ashva also as horses, which in the Kathopanishad, in the chariot, the body is the chariot, the sense organs are horses, and the road is the sense objects. So white horses means sattvic. So when the sattvic buddhi is there, then such a person, tara means goes beyond this bhavasagar and reaches his destination. So that's why chanting and studying Shvetashvatara Upanishad with a sattvic bhava helps us to go to the highest. So the first mantra is the Shanti mantra, which I won't cover because everybody knows Om Sahana Vatu. If you don't know, you should have known by now because we have explained it many times. No, Sahana Vatu. No, it's Om Sahana Vatu. Anyway, so we'll start with the first mantra. It is Hari Om. That is, of course, God's name. Brahma Vadina Vadanti. So Brahma Vadina means seekers of Brahman. They are not Brahma Nishtha. If they were, they wouldn't be coming to a teacher. And Vadanti means they ask the teacher. And they
what
ask,
is the book?
Shvetashvatara Upanishad. I gave it to you. It is on page number 1. So anyway, so he asks several questions. The students, all of them ask, Kim Karanam Brahma? So is this world... Is Brahman the Karana? Why are they asking, is Brahman the Karana of this world? Because they have heard that there is something called Brahman, which is Akarta, which is a non-doer. And how can a non-doer be the cause of this world? So that is the first question. Kutasma jata, from where have we come? Jivama kena, how do we exist on this earth? How do we live? Kvacha sampratishtaha. And after death, where do we go and where do we stay? Where do we abide? And adishtita kena, then the last line, vyavasthama. So by, under whose governance and under whose laws, kena, sukha itareshu, in these joys and sorrows, Vartamahe, we live. How do we live and under whose governance do we live in this world of joy and sorrows? O Brahma Vida, O the knowers of the truth, O Rishi, please explain to us. So who is this Lord that is ruling over this universe? So then they continue saying that we have heard that there are various factors which seem to be the cause of the universe. One is Kala. Kala means time. They think time is eternal and it is all powerful and everything is governed by time. Then some of them have heard Swabhava. Swabhava means the atoms. The atoms come together magically and they create this world. Then Niyati. Niyati means the Sankhya philosophy, where they have heard that there is a Prakriti and a Purusha which are both independent, and together they create the world, and neither one of them is all powerful, and that they do not believe in God in this Sankhya, in the original Sankhya philosophy. Then Yadricha. Yadricha means fanciful. It just happened by chance. We don't know why it happened. Then Bhutani. Bhutani here means the Pancha Mahabhutas. So the five elements have created Yonihi. Yoni means they are the womb. They are the cause of this good creation. Then Purusha. Purusha here does not mean the supreme Purusha. Means some intelligence, some intelligent being created iti chintya, having thought about this. Then they say, then there could be other things like sanyoga. Maybe it's not just only atoms, but atoms plus elements plus chance. So combo, they call as combo. You know, when you get a combo meal, when you have three, four things. Esham of these, but natu atma bhavat. But it cannot be. Why? Because some people say it was the individual self who created. You know, the intelligent being, individual self, jiva, the jivatma created. He said it cannot be because the jivatma is anisha, is not all powerful, is not the Lord, but there is a Lord on top of him. And if I created this world, if the jiva created, why did he put sorrow in it? See, nobody will deliberately create sorrow, right? He will create all joy. Swamiji said, except our teenage son, we create him and he still gives us sorrow. But in general, we don't create sorrow for us. So he says, then the question is, They meditated. Still the teacher has not started speaking. Dhyana yoga anugata. They went into deep meditation and apashyan. What did they see? Devatma shaktim. They saw this atma shakti, which here is maya. But it is ekaha. At the end they say ekaha. Eka purusha, eka power. Devatma shaktim, through this maya shakti, but of its own gunas, by its own gunas, it is nigudham. So they are still not aware what is this supreme power that through maya creates yaha karanani nikhilani, all these causes, you know, all the previous causes, atoms, elements, by chance, you know, all those. Tani kalat ma yuktani means starting from kala onwards, you know, all the previous factors that they had been covered. Adishthati ekaha. There is one supreme power that apparently through all these factors creates the universe. So that was their understanding, that there was this one power through maya. So they are coming closer to the truth. So now Rishi starts his answer from mantra number 4. Mantra number 4 actually is very long. Swamiji took whole 1 hour to explain it. So I'm not going to explain because there's so many factors. I would request each one to read on their own because there's like hundreds of factors given. But I'll just briefly cover. It is said there is the Brahma Chakra, a wheel, in which this whole universe revolves. And look at it, we are all in a wheel. The whole universe is revolving, the cosmos, the earth is revolving around the sun. The day revolves, you know, day and night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, January, February, March, you know, winter, spring, summer, autumn, and then again winter. So everything, Satyug, Kaliyug, you know, all those Satyug, Treta, Dwapar, Kaliyug. So the continuous cycle is going on. So there is a Brahma Chakra, which has one rim. Rim means the circle of the, which is the potential for creation, potential energy. And Trivritam has three tires. We'll talk about that, or I can just, as I'm going, I can mention three tires are like the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. They can be Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. They can be the seer, seen, and seeing. So the Triputi, waking, dream, and deep sleep. So those are the three tires. Shodasha Antam, the 16 extremities, which are the 5 + 5 + 5 + 1. So five elements, five sense organs, five organs of action plus one mind. So those 16 factors are required in creation. And then Shata Ardha Aram. So these, there are spokes. Shata Ardha means half of 100. There are 50 spokes. And they're all listed by Guruji. I won't go into all 50. But basically, they are the good and bad qualities called Viparyaya and Tushtihi. Viparyaya, all the negativities. Tushti, and then Anatushti. So Tushti means contentment. Anatushti means discontentment. So 50 factors are there. Then there are Vinshati Pratyarabhihi. 20 nails which hold the spokes together, hold the rim. And these 20 nails are the sense objects which attach to the senses, which attach to the sense objects and bind us. So that is the nail. Ashtakahi Shataha. 8 times 6, 48 factors, which there are many multiples of 8. So for example, this Ashtabhurti Mrit, Ashtamurti Vrid, Deva Pujanam in Deshar, it comes that this Jiva consists of 8, 5 elements, Mana, Buddhi, Ahankar, 8. Then Ashtasiddhis of Hanumanji. So many factors of 8 are in there. And then Vishwarupa Aikapasham. So the one pasham is one desire. Prakriti is the Vishwarupam. This whole universe is Prakriti. And one thing holds us, pasham, a rope binds us, which is desire. And three marga bhedam. Three marga means on this path, people can go through dharma, through adharma, or through buddhi, through knowledge. So there are three ways one can go: through dharma, adharma, or buddhi. Dvi nimitta, there are two factors, causes, which is papa and punya. So when we do papa or punya with that egocentric attitude, that is cause for rebirth. So that is how this whole earth came into being. And eka moham, and it is because of moha, because of delusion, I see duality. So Swami Tejomayananji Guruji has given these in detail. So we won't do that. You can please read the book. But I'm just summarizing the important points in this first chapter. We have time, actually. It's not that bad. But we have covered 4 shlokas. In the 5th shloka, pancha srota ambum. Ambum means water. So 5 streams of water. So what does, so first he had given the example of the wheel of the Brahma chakra. Now he's giving the example of a river, that this universe is continuously flowing like a river. In the first one, he talked about the circle. Here, continuous flow of river. So the river has 5 streams. What are the 5 streams? Correct. 5 streams are, ambum is the water. And why does he use the example of water? Because just as from the ocean, the waters emerge and then they merge back into the ocean. There's water, vapor, cloud, rain, river merges back. So similarly, we all have emerged from that one Brahman and we merge back into that Brahman. And Panchayoni Ugravakra. Ugravakra means the difficult turns. Ugra means very horrible, powerful turns that make our life suddenly, you know, turn. Like Swamiji gave example, like if Ramchandraji had not, you know, had just ruled the kingdom for 40, 50, 60 years and dropped his body, where would we have a story? But Manthara came and then Kaikeyi came and then they produced a horrible turn where instead of becoming Yuvraj, he went to the forest and the whole Ramayana came. Otherwise, we wouldn't. So these vakras where suddenly our life, everything is going well and then suddenly it changes. Why does that happen? So that is karmas. Then what else is in the in this river of the universe? Pancha prana. You know, we all know prana, apana, and so on. They are the waves that is pushing us. Our pranas are the ones that run our life. And then pancha buddhyadi mulam. So what is the origin of this river? Is the mind. The mind, buddhi, is the mula, is the source of this river. And they have told five, but we say we know four antakaranas, mana, buddhi, chitta, ahankar. But the fifth one is the movement. So the movement of the mind is the fifth. So pancha buddhyadi. So the river has an origin, river has waves, river has water, river has turns. Then the river has whirlpools, you know, five whirlpools. And what are the whirlpools? They are the objects that bind us. And we get caught in those objects. You know, just as we get caught in the whirlpool, suddenly some object appears and I get a desire and I am caught. Panchaugha vegam. Five strong currents of water. And those are what? The vikaras. You know, asti, jayati, vardate, parinamyate, apakshiyate, and vinashyati. So the birth, growth, old age, change, and death are the vikaras, and which are the waves, which are the strong currents. Panchashat Bhedam. Again, 50 he has come to. So he says for 50, you refer to the previous shloka. You will find the 50 there. So he's not going to repeat it. Pancha Parvam Dhimaha. And the five branches. What are the five branches? You know, we have the five problems we have. That is Avidya, Asmita, Raga, Dvesha, Abhinivesha. So avidya is ignorance, asmita ego, likes and dislikes, and then the desire to live forever. So these are the five branches. So that is mantra number five. So here basically he has described the entire universe as a Brahma chakra, and as a continuously flowing river in which we are drowning. We are caught and we are drowning. They say, Bhavasagar mein doob raha hun. So now in this river, sarva jive, all the people live, jiva they live, and sarva samsthite, and they perish in it, right? In this world, we are born and we die. And what is this chakra, Brahma chakra? Brihante asmin Brahma chakra. You know, brihante means it is huge. It is because this chakra is even beyond space. You know, this whole Brahma chakra is good. Even beyond, even space is included in that. So here, hansa means us. Here, paramhansa doesn't mean paramhamsa. Hamsa means the individual being, brahmyate, gets deluded. Why is the word hamsa used? Because the hamsa can distinguish milk from water. You know, that's what they say. If you give it a mixture, it will drink. So you and I have the ability of distinguishing truth from untruth, real from unreal, but we don't use it. So we are hamsa. But somebody like Ramakrishna, is called Paramhamsa because even abiding in this body, he is able to distinguish truth from untruth. Not only Ramakrishna, but all realized masters are called Paramhamsa. Then Prithag Atmanam Preritaram Cha Matva. This is very important. Thinking myself, Atmanam, to be Prithag, to be different from Preritaram, from the creator, the controller. See, the controller and the Lord and I are one, but thinking myself to be different from God, Matva, this person gets Brahmyate. So why do I get deluded? Because I think Bhagwan is somewhere else and I am somewhere else. But Jushtaha, but one who is blessed by that God, Tata, by that God, Tena Amritatvam Eti. So blessed by the Lord, he gets immortality. So they say, why does God bless selected people and does not bless others? No, he doesn't. It is up to us to put our effort. God's blessing is there for everybody. But the one who utilizes the blessing to progress on the spiritual path benefits from it. So Swamiji gave the example of a wood. You want to cross the river. There is this piece of wood and you hold on to it. And you can't tell the wood, now you take me across. You hold on to the wood, but then you put effort. You kick your legs. Then the wood will take you. If you just hold on to the wood, you will go down in the river. So don't only just wait for God's blessing, but put your effort with the blessings that God has given us. Very, very beautiful mantra. I thought this was one of the best.
Yeah, and also here, Swamiji said that they have given Brahman together with its manifestation in the form of cause and effect.
Right.
That is what is given in the fourth, and then he's explained.
Right. Yeah, the cause and effect, yes. So
the cause and effect, if we know from... So effect is not different from the cause, so we think of that.
Right. Then in the seventh mantra, it is Udgitam. Udgitam means it has been proclaimed. Where has this been proclaimed? In the Vedas. In the Vedas, Udgitam etat param tu Brahma, but that supreme Brahman who is the substratum of this entire universe has been explained beautifully in the Vedas. And in that, these three are established. In that Aksharam, in that supreme imperishable Brahman, Supratishtha, firmly established these three. So what are these three? Jiva, Jagata, and Ishvara. So Jiva, the individual, the Jagat, which is Prakriti, and even Ishvara, the support of that is Brahman. So Brahman is the substratum, which then playing the role of Ishvara through Maya creates this universe. So as Neeru said, the cause and effect. And how does a person come to reach that Brahman? Atra Antaram, he says, he's right here in your heart. All you have to do is meditate on that, know it from the Guru, Brahma Vida, one who knows Brahman as my own true nature, not only knows in it, but Lina Brahmani, then he merges with that Brahman. He becomes one with that Brahman, the individuality, the ego goes away, and Tatpara, and makes that his supreme goal. See, that is very important, that in my life goal is enlightenment. That everybody has to decide. And only then you will become yoni muktaha. You will become free from birth and death. Otherwise, you know, again, you die, then you take birth in another mother's womb and then stay 9 months and then come out and cry and diapers and all that. So all that... Learning to walk, learning to talk. Why we want to go through that? Again, another birth, another. So be free in this life itself. And then he says, Sanyuktam. And interestingly, he talks about the power of Maya. And what is that which makes the impossible possible? You know, anhoni ko honi kar de. Remember, there was the song. Kare, you know, so this song is Maya makes the impossible possible. Sanyuktam. What does it do? Etat, this Maya, ksharam aksharam. So perishable and imperishable, how can they combine? You know, they cannot. It's like light and darkness. They cannot. But it makes it. Or vyakta, avyakta, the manifest and the unmanifest, the Maya is able to combine. How does it do that? We don't know. Not only it combines it, but it supports it. And this whole Vishwam, Vishwam means that which is continuously changing, continuously moving, is called Vishwam. And that is supported. Who is the power behind Maya? Ishaha, one Ishvara, one Lord, which is Brahman playing that role. And he says that the individual, Anisha, we are the powerless. See, Ishvara has power, but we are powerless. And Atma Badyate Bhoktra Bhava. Once you have this idea that this world is here for my enjoyment, you are gone, you are stuck. Bhoktra Bhavat Badyate. So this individual, if he thinks that I am here just to khao piyo, enjoy the world, then you are bound. And Nyatva Devam, but knowing that supreme reality, that Brahman, which has been described in the Vedas, which has been explained by the teacher, Muchyate, he gets free of Sarva Pashaihi, from all these bondages. Here the fifth case is used. From all these bondages, the jiva gets freed only through knowledge. So the importance of knowledge is given. All the others will help, you know, bhakti, all this karma yoga and all, but only through knowledge you will get freedom. So the point is, all the paths have to be practiced. Does not mean I only do knowledge and don't do any bhakti, don't do any puja, don't do any karma yoga. All of them have to be practiced, but they all have to lead to knowledge. Now in the ninth mantra, he talks about the difference between the two. So Nya and Agnya. Nya means the one who knows, and Agnya means the ignorant one. So the wise one and the ignorant one, Dvau. So these two. And Jiva, Isha. Now the both, whether it's Jiva and Ishvara or knower and unknower, both are unborn. You say the Jiva is also unborn? No, but I had a birth in 19 whatever. No, the body had a birth, but the Jivatma, the mind and intellect package keeps on going through, and it is birthless. It has been there forever, but it has an end. See, the jiva's journey has an end, even though it has no beginning. But Ishvara, again, is beginningless and endless. But they are both unborn. Both are eternal. And Eka Bhoktri Bhogyartha Yukta. So this Maya and this Ishvara make the combination of Bhogya and Bhoktra. So I am the enjoyer, and the world is to be enjoyed. So the world is here to experience, but not to get bound. So it is the power of Maya which has created this world. It is Ishvara functioning through Maya. And then it says this Atma, the consciousness within us, is Ananta, is endless. And it is the Vishwarupa. So this whole Vishwa is a manifestation of that Atma, the consciousness, which is beginningless and endless. See that Brahman, there is no end. It is, or was always there, is there, and will always be there. So Atma is that same Brahman, but Adayam, you know, that I am Atma Brahma. There is a Mahavakya, that is Atma, the consciousness within me and the consciousness outside are one. And that is Vishwarupa. But it is Akarta. It is the non-doer, but it is the power of Brahman that functioning through Ishvara gives an appearance of the world. The world apparently is unreal, but it is like a chakra. It is appearing just as when you go to the fair, there is this giant wheel that is appears and then it is taken apart. You know, it's not there permanent. So similarly, this world is temporary there. Trayam yada vindate, one who knows these three, again, Jiva, Maya, and Ishvara. Or this Maya means this inert world, knower, and the known. And also the Swamiji also in this gave the example of the picture that there is the substratum, which is Brahman, on which the picture you see all that is happening. And then there is a seer. So if I am there watching the picture, I become the seer. And then there is a light which shines on the picture. The picture cannot be seen in a dark room. So the light is the sun. The jiva is the jivatma, the seer. Substratum is Brahman. And Maya creates this whole world. And there is one creator, that is Brahman. And if you want to know Brahman, that's how you know that as the substratum. And then he's talking about, again, Prakriti and Maya. So he says, Kshaaram Pradhanam, Amrita Aksharam. So this perishable Brahma world is Pradhanam. Pradhanam is another word for Prakriti. And Aksharam Haraha. So Haraha, the supreme reality, is imperishable, while this Prakriti or Maya is perishable. So that is the distinction. So they say, do not get attached to what is perishable, what is changing. Because if you get attached to something that is changing, when that changes, you will become miserable. It could be your child, could be your property, could be anything. Because sooner or later, everything will change, will go away. So hold on to that one Hara, one Supreme Lord. And then it says, Kshaarat Mana Anvishate Deva Ekaha. So through meditation, you reach that one Deva. Kshaarat Mana. It is the essence of this, and that is seen in meditation. So he says, Tasya Abhidhyanat. Abhidhyanat means sitting in meditation, you see the oneness between that supreme reality and the perishable world and me. And then what happens? Through meditation, Yojanat, you become one with that. The one God I was thinking separate is me. That's what Swamiji talked about. Mrityunjayam Mrityubhyashritanam. In Saddarshanam, he says, those who are afraid of death, what do? If we are sick, we go to a doctor who himself is afraid of death. You say, he's not going to give you freedom from death or freedom from fear. Freedom from fear, you go to Mrityunjayam, go to the Lord Shiva who has conquered death. So he says, if you want freedom from fear, freedom from death, meditate on Mrityunjayam, the supreme reality which is beyond death, and Tattva Bhavat, and the essence of Brahman. Brahman, of course, manifests as the world, as Sri Rama, Sri Krishna, Mother Durga, and so on. But the essence, the changeless reality, which has been described in the Upanishads, described in the Vedas, meditate on that again and again. See, Bhuyaha, because people think, Are, I have been, you know, studying for so long. I already know this. I know I am Brahman. No, they say there is a 30-year cycle. Maybe I'll just spend 2 minutes talking about it. Maybe some of you may be already there. But first 10 years is, I think I know it. I have read Aham Brahmasmi. I know it. So the one who thinks I know it, he's in the first 10 years. I already know it. So after 10 years, when you realize you don't know it, you develop humility. Then you are teachable. So the next 20 years, in the next 10 years of your spiritual journey, you are teachable. So where am I? I have to think. Again, it depends on previous birth and so on. But generally, 3 10-year cycles. So first 10 years, you think you know it. That is one. The next 10 years is you go to a guru and say, Guru, I don't know anything. You teach me. So then the guru takes 10 years. The third 10 years, you develop detachment from everything I knew, not only from objects, from my knowledges, from my thinking. And then after 30 years, then you progress further on this path and finally achieve. So the point is that it shows us humility and that one has to continuously do it, not to discourage, are mere ko abhi 20 saal baki hai, you know. No, just keep on doing it whenever it happens, this life, next life. And what happens to such a person? Vishwa maya nivritti. He gets freed from this bondage of maya. Because right now he said, no, maya ke jaal mein phasa hua hu. So through this knowledge and through the grace of the teacher and grace of Bhagwan, see, that is very important. And through detachment and through humility. Humility is the number one. Humility and sincerity. These are two things for a spiritual seeker. One is I don't know. And second is I want to know. So that is very important. That is emphasized here. Mm-hmm. So now what happens to in the 11th mantra is a very powerful mantra which talks about Jivan Mukti and Krama Mukti. So the first one is Jivan Mukti. What happens to this Jivan Muktaha? Nyatva Devam, having known the self who is Sarva Pasha Apahani. So through the knowledge, all my bondages, all my ties get reduced. They get cut. I cut slowly my attachments, my dependent. And Kshinai Kleshaihi. So all these kleshas, all these bondages, all these problems slowly get weakened. So that's what they say. It has to be slow, continuous, gradual process where you detach yourself from all these bondages, slowly weaken all our vasanas. Our vasanas are not going to go away overnight. It's not that you go to sleep one night and next morning you wake up, aham brahmasmi, and you start singing ahanamma, ahanamma, you know, ahamanna, that from Taittiriya. It's not going to happen overnight. No light is going to shine. Guru cannot bless, put his hand on your head and bless you. No, we have to put the effort ourselves. And Janma Mrityu Prahani, if you want to go beyond the cycle of birth and death, put effort. Tasya Abhidhyanat. Again, meditate, meditate, meditate. Rishi says, Tritiyam Deha Bhede. This identification of myself with this body. So with the body identification, I become seer, seeing and seen. Doer, doing and done. No, eater, eating and eaten. So this three bhed, these three things, because I think I am this body, so I am eating and I am doing. This ego, all that comes. So that has to be reduced. Vishwa Aishwaryam. See the one universal lordship, Keval, Kevalam. So one, that's why Kevalya Upanishad says there is one alone. Once he is enlightened, he realizes there is one. Kaivalya Upanishad, he says, where there is no bheda, there is no distinction between different species. Like, you know, we have different species. So there is a cow is different from dog or from cat. Then yeah, within the species, like within the dog, you may have, you know, Alsatian and what a pomegranate and popper and whatever the names are. Terrier and all those, I don't want to know. So the dogs have their own, and then within the individual, I have different Vedas. My nose is different from my ears, from my mouth. But Kaivalyam Padam Ashnute, one who knows this truth, Kaivalya Upanishad says, then he goes beyond those three Vedas. Vedas, Vijatiya, Sajatiya, and Swagata Veda. So he goes beyond this and apta kamaha, and then all his desires are fulfilled. So the first line talks about the jivan mukta, and the second line talks about this person who has accomplished this. Then he goes to Brahma Loka, and there Brahmaji teaches him. So we have done mantra number 11. Now this Rishi gives a very important line. Etat neyam. This alone has to be known. We spend so much time, you know, I don't know this language. I don't know Sanskrit. I don't know chanting. I don't know, you know, I don't know Russian. I don't know computers. I don't know, you know, all these things. Then I want to know what is happening in Bosnia, what is happening in Ukraine, all that we waste our time in knowing all these things. He said, no, only one thing is to be known. I am Brahman. That's all. Everything else is unnecessary knowledge. Yeah, knowledge is required. One should not stop studying. But the most important thing, the only thing to be known is Aham Brahmasmi. And what is this Brahman? It is Nityam. Now, Nityam word, Swamiji had said, can be used in two ways. Nityam means eternal, permanent, ever-changing, never-changing. So, Brahman is Nityam. That is one. Secondly, my understanding should be Nityam. Means I should have continuous this understanding, not that one day I am Brahman and second day I am this miserable creature and third day I am suffering. Then how can I say I am Brahman? Because Brahman will never suffer, right? Brahman has no suffering. If I say I am suffering, then I am not Brahman. Because Brahman has no sorrow, Brahman has no suffering, Brahman has no pain. So detach from all that and always stay in that abidance, in that knowledge. And beyond that Brahman, na atav param. There is nothing beyond this Brahman. Brahman alone is this universe and also beyond this universe. Veditavyam. He kinchit. There is a rare person who knows this knowledge. So to know this knowledge is very rare. It's not, that's why Bhagavan says, na bahunam janmanam. Ante jnanvan mam prapadyate. It's very, very rare to find one who knows this truth. And what is the truth? Bhokta bhogyam preritaram cha matva. Who knows? I am the enjoyer, experiencer. Here not, bhokta here means experiencer. This world is to be experienced, yes. And there is a creator who has created. But all of them are Brahmam etat. One Brahman alone has become the creator, the enjoyer, and the enjoyed, the creator, experiencer, and experience. Right now, we have three different things. You know, I am there, this world I know, and then there is God somewhere sitting in Vaikuntha or Kailasha. No, they are all one. They are all Brahman. So here, the teaching of the Upanishad ends on the 12th shloka. And he says, you are done. But now four more shlokas are there, four more mantras, which are beautiful examples of how to find this truth. So far, the goal has been given. Now, the Rishi, out of compassion, is giving us the sadhana. Mm-hmm. I first was told the goal, find Brahman. Now, how to find Brahman? So, the next four mantras give the example. So, example is, Vannehe yatha yoginah tasya murtihi. So, like in a wood, there is fire. But do we see the fire? No. We don't see fire in the wood. The wood is cold. is, you know, is dark. It's not, doesn't have any fire, but it is hidden. Na drishyate, is not seen. Naivacha linganashah. And its subtle form is not experienced by us. But Swamiji had said that once the fire manifests, then it not only, it will destroy the wood completely. So similarly, you and I, this subtle body is the obstacle. Mm-hmm. This ego is the obstacle and Brahman is hidden, but we are not able to see it. But once Brahman manifests, it will destroy this subtle body. You'll say it will destroy my mind and intellect. Yes. It will destroy your ego. It will destroy your ego, and then that Brahman alone will remain. Not that this person will die. And how do we do that? Sa bhuya, again and again, indana yoho nigrahya. So, you know, in all the Upanishads, they say that you have a piece of wood, and then you have om on top, and then ego below, and then that wood is churned with the rope. And when that churning happens, in the bottom cup, there is some dry leaves. And with the churning, the spark is created and these dry leaves catch fire. And then that fire is used in the yajna. So using the yajna example, the Rishi tells us that swadeha aranim kritva, make yourself the lower arni and make pranava, om, the upper arni. So Swamiji had said, chanting om takes you beyond form. He had mentioned that the Upanishad say chanting om is superior to chanting on forms. If you chant om namah shivaya or Shri Krishna sharanam mama or Shri Ram Jai Ram, then what happens? You visualize the form of God. But they say chanting om alone, because om doesn't have a form, is only sound. And then from om, you go to silence. Stay in that intense silence. And even 20 minutes of that doing is far superior to hours of meditation. Yeah. And this churning is meditation. What is the churning? That aham brahmasmi. I am Brahman. How can I be Brahman? So all that has been explained in the Upanishads. What are the qualities of Brahman are my qualities. I am eternal. I am endless. I am unborn. I am imperishable. I am beyond the pairs of opposites. I am beyond these three bodies, gross, subtle, and causal body. So that I means the indicated lakshyartham, not I as this ego, but I as that consciousness. That is my true nature. So churning is the meditating upon the truth of the Upanishads, the truth of the Mahavakya, that the teacher says tatvamasi, so you understand as aham brahmasmi, I am that Brahman. And then he says this truth is hidden, is nigudham, is nishchayena guda. Guda means very deep, very difficult to reach. And how it is hidden? Tileshu tailam, just as in sesame seed, the oil is there. How do you remove it? By pressing, by force. Dadhani eva sarpihi, just as in yogurt, there is butter. And how do you remove butter from yogurt? By churning. As you are churning the rod, the butter floats. So that's what it says. The knowledge comes up. And the Mahatmas, they are effortless. They float because they have gone beyond out of this ignorance. Then he says, Apaha Srotasu. Srotasu means the hidden stream of water. When you want to bring it out, what do? You dig a well. You go deep, deep, deep. You dig a well and the water comes out. So similarly, through churning and going deep within, and pressing here means tapas, and we'll talk about that. So this agni, atma atmani grihyate, this atma is encountered, what grihyate means realized. Here is realized through tapa. Tapa here does not mean torturing the body. We had talked on Sunday also to the parents. Tapa, that was the shloka from the Bhagavad Gita. Tapa is the sincere contemplation in one direction and practicing some amount of self-control, not overindulgence. Tapa does not mean torturing the body, starving the body, but living a life of moderation. That's what Bhagavan says. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu. So eating in moderation, exercising in moderation, working in moderation, sleeping in moderation, not sleeping too much or not sleeping at all. So satya and tapasa. So satya means truth. So if we live a life of untruth, Brahman can never be realized. So the life has to be truthful. Truthful means actions, words, and thoughts have to be one. And tapasa, we already talked about. Anupashyati. Pashyati means seeing. Anupashyati has two meanings. One is constantly one sees the truth. Anu also means following. So after getting this knowledge from the teacher, following that, one sees what this Atma as sarvavyapi is, all pervading. Everything is that. It's not only here. It's in this table, it's in the air, it is in space. Atma, I mean, just as in the yogurt, where is the butter? It is everywhere. It's, you cannot say in this part of yogurt there is butter and this part there is not. But when you churn it, then the butter separates. But before that, the yogurt is everywhere. Butter, so butter is everywhere in the yogurt, same way. This truth is everywhere. Atma vidyat. And through Atma vidya, through right knowledge, tapomulam, then the essence of tapa is realized and the linga nasha happens. As I said, this subtle body then merges into that totality. Such a person is not born again because his or her subtle body doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't have to go to heaven or hell or even to Brahma Loka. In this life itself, the subtle body merges, the gross body merges with the elements, subtle body merges with the total mind, and of course, Atma is ever. And what is the method? Jati niti kula gotra. You know that mano buddha hankara. I am not this. Chidananda rupaha shivoham shivoham. And the Atma, which is unmanifest, becomes manifest. And Swamiji gave a very powerful example. He talked about Gurudev or any guru. He says, first, when you see Gurudev, you are impressed with his English, with his command of the vocabulary, how beautifully he can explain the Gita and the Upanishad. Wow, you know, you are impressed. Like fire, you know, first you experience his brilliance. Then you go closer, you experience the warmth. Then you go even closer and then you experience the intense heat. And finally, the fire burns you if you go into it. So similarly, Guru, like Pujya Gurudev, first you see his brilliance from far. And also he could be very intimidating. But then when you get closer, then you see his warmth, his compassion, his love, and how much he cared for everybody. And only people who were close to Gurudev could feel that. Then he says, you become closer, you become a disciple. Disciple means you subject yourself to discipline. So if you truly want to progress, you get so close to God and to the Guru that make yourself a disciple. You are no longer an admirer, but you are now disciple. And then the fourth stage, he says, Gurudev burns your ego, and you become one with that. So this is the process. And he says, this alone is the Upanishad. That is the supreme, Tad Upanishad Param. Tad Upanishad Param. So when he repeats, that means the Upanishad is ending. So here we see that through jnana, through tapasa, and eka chintanat, which will be coming in Upadesh Sara, one chintanam alone, because he said jala pakshivat, you know, by vayu rodhana, by controlling your breath, you control the mind like a bird in a net. I think they covered that last week. But through eka chintana, through one thinking that I am Brahman alone, nasha mityatat, then this subtle body gets destroyed, this ego gets destroyed, and Brahman alone remains. So this is a beautiful chapter, and actually it looks like everything is told already. He has told creation, he has told the goal, he has told the path, he has told the obstacles, everything. So what more that we have to wait for Swamiji when he comes back.
The second chapter is on meditation.
Yeah, so different, further expansion, all that will happen. So Swamiji hopefully will come in January or February, he has told us. So we'll continue the second chapter. We started 5 minutes late. It's almost time. We can, if anybody wants to log off, they can log off, or we can spend 5 minutes if anybody has any questions or comments. I know I covered a lot. That's all
no,
there.
That's beautiful. You covered it nicely. Very good.
Thank you.
Covered everything.
Any questions, comments?
No.
Disagreements.
No,
Lata, you don't have question? I'm surprised.
No, but I am going to hold my view to myself today.
Okay.
Because what's happening today and what's going to come out next few days in this
chapter. That's unreal. Remember, it's unreal. Don't give too much importance.
Yeah.
My
sentence was, what's going to happen is impossible to possible, and both sides, I mean, everybody.
Whatever happens,
acceptance of what it is.
No, actually, I have told the story of Dobi, which was very well. My mother asked Dobi, you know, this was in the 1950, are you going to vote for Congress or Jansang? It was Jansang. He said, Mataji, Congress jeete ya Jansang jeete, hum to Dobi ke Dobi rahenge. He said, whether Congress wins or Jansang wins, I'll remain Dobi. So why should I bother my head too much? So don't worry. Tomorrow also, whether Republican comes or Congress or Democrat come, you will remain Lata. You will get up and do the same thing. So we shouldn't worry too much about it. It is his world. Let him worry about it. Let me worry about my sadhana instead of wasting too much time on elections. And I also am equally guilty, so I shouldn't tell you, but yeah. Any other comments, questions? Satish Bhai, Sharad, anything?
Surrender is very hard to do. See, we think we have a very selective surrender.
Right.
This is surrender.
This is surrender, yeah. It's very hard. No, I myself.
The one doing it, and everything.
Right, that he's doing everything and I'm doing nothing. It's very hard. Anything else?
It's very comprehensive knowledge in today's talk. It's very comprehensive. It covered many, many aspects of it.
Bird's eye view, but please read the chapter. Yeah, Guruji has given a lot of details, which I was not able to cover. So please, everybody, I would request. Swamiji covered in 5 hours. Guruji has covered in about 60 some pages, 64, 65 pages. So please read them.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll do the closing. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namaha. Thank you. Sharad, anything you wanted to add?
I was just going to say it was very, very beautiful and you covered it greatly. I was just going to say it's so difficult because we were told that to uncover it, it's right here. But yet, like you say, it's a 30, 40 year process as you explained it so far away and it may take many, many lifetimes. I was just listening to a YouTube video on Vedanta, and the gentleman comes up and says, when will I see my Sri Krishna Bhagwan? And the Guruji is saying, see how many leaves are on this tree? And the guy is saying, I don't know how many. And then he says, there's over 7,000-8,000 leaves on this tree. So after 8,000 lifetimes, the Guruji says, you will see Sri Krishna Bhagwan. And the devotee or the sadhaka starts dancing in joy. So I was just thinking, the shraddha is so important. Right. Versus having a negative attitude saying, oh my gosh, 8,000 years, forget it. Or 40 years in this lifetime to get to, or 40 years, you know. So that shraddha, that faith, that developing that closeness to the guru or your ishtadevta that you described is so important. So I just wanted to mention the relationship and the shraddha that we need to develop.
Yeah, thank you. But also
one quick comment on what Sharad just mentioned. I think I talked about it a couple of weeks ago in Upadesa Shara, where how much patience does a person need in Vedanta? And Swamiji described as actually emptying the ocean with a blade of grass. Mm-hmm. That's how much patience is required. Not necessarily, important thing is not necessarily that's the kind of time you need.
That's true.
Because
Gurudeva has written a book called Hasten Slowly, right, on this one, that on this path you have to do slow. It's not like quickly, like Anil said in that lecture, overnight it will happen, or right, I've been going for a few years, nothing is happening. Right. He said, hasten slowly. And also the values, he says, it takes time for it to settle or for them to sink in you.
Right.
Just think, one hour a week they send their kids to Balvihar, and rest of the time they have them at home. So, we tell them they have to come themselves so they can continue doing it at
home. But also, and Swamiji also said that the real quick thing, Swamiji also said that once you start on this path with sincerity, Bhagwan himself will lift you. I mean, he will empty the ocean for you. You don't have to do that.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that if we put the right effort and Lord's grace, we can do it in this lifetime itself. So that should be the goal, this lifetime, not many lifetimes or when. Abhi chahiye, right now. Because are you Brahman or I will be Brahman? I am Brahman, not I will become Brahman in some future lifetime. I am already Brahman. So then it's not that in some future lifetime, 40th lifetime from now, I am Brahman. So whenever you realize, it has to be realized in the now. Even after 10 lifetimes, you will still say, oh, next life, next life. So say now, I am, not I will be. So it has to be that very firm conviction that that alone is the truth. And not postpone it, I think. That's my, not that I have reached, but that's the teaching. So, but give me your plan. Sorry, yeah, Harsha Ben, go ahead. Harsha Ben, you want to say something?
I just said thank you.
Oh, okay. Chalo. Thank you, Hari Om. Anything
else? Hari Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om, Brahma Ben.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hari Om. Hari Om.